This is KTO, Public Media's Juno Afternoon, and it's 3:44. Andy Klein with you, and coming up next, Carter Lewis, the playwright of the brand new play that's happening at Perseverance Theater called With, which opens tonight at Perseverance Theater. Also, Lily Odekirk, who's here from Perseverance Theater as the Development and Marketing Associate. Thanks to both of you for coming in, Lily, and thanks so much for coming up all the way from St. Louis.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
very
you.
Good. So you're in town just for a couple days just to kind of make sure that Perseverance Theater is done right by you on the opening night, right?
I don't think I'm here to make sure they've done me right. But I'm here. This is the premiere of the show,
yeah.
So I wanted to see it.
Is this the world premiere of
it is,
With?
It is,
okay.
Yes. It's been developed at three different spaces, in New York and in Philadelphia and down in Florida. And so I've seen some wonderful renditions of it, but I've never seen it three-dimensionalized yet with a set and full rehearsal period and all that.
So is that tell me a little bit about that process as a playwright. Is this first of all, tell me a little bit about your background. Is this one of your first plays? Is this one of your 100th plays? Tell me where you are in your career as a playwright. And
it's one of many.
Yeah,
I've been writing since probably college, and have been working professionally as a playwright probably for 30 years, maybe something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm just gonna pull that mic into you a little bit more. That's great. Yeah,
and this play. The question you ask about the development process is that's where playwrights like to be. That's the most fun, is when you're got a draft and you're working with wonderful actors and directors, and you're kind of sculpting it and changing it and rewriting it each day. And you come in with new pages and they read it, and that's exciting. And then you go away and you rewrite them again. And so I did that in three cities. I did that in Jiva Theater Center in New York for the Font Festival, and that was a five-day workshop. And then I did it at Playpen in Philadelphia, which is a three-week workshop. So that's a longer, more intensive workshop. And then a quick and dirty 24-hour job down in Florida at Palm Beach Drama Works, and we just rehearsed for 6 hours and put it up on the stage.
Has that always been part of your process for bringing something to be able to have it be a play, to kind of workshop it that way?
Very much, yeah, because it's not like prose. You know, prose are written to be read, and plays are essentially you're writing behavior. And until you see that behavior three-dimensionalized and through the wonderful talents of an actor's mouth and body, you don't really know as much about it as you think you do. So it's when you put it in the mouth of actors, then you can sort of test it and see, is this behaviorally accurate? And does this work, and does it have the energy of behavior that's appropriate?
Yeah. Do you find that you're adjusting more of the dialogue or more of the sort of direction and narrative direction that you're writing into plays, or is it equal?
Both.
It's both, yeah.
Both. It's a lot of times it is more dramaturgically the storyline and the arc of the play that you're trying to find.
Like, I didn't mean that. I meant for them to do it this way,
yeah,
kind of thing. Right.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Not correcting what they do. It's mostly correcting what I do.
How you give that direction. I see. Okay.
Yeah, because you're at your desk and you're lonely and you're writing, and then eventually you need actors to bring it to full fruition so you can see if it lives. Yeah.
You were saying that is the kind of funnest part. What's the least fun part about putting together a play? Is there a part where you always go, oh, man, I dread this?
Playwriting's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that the least fun part is when you go to, say, the eighth or ninth production of a play and you just happen to be in that city and you say, oh, I'm going to go check it out. And they've done some wild, crazy interpretation. And that's not unfun, but it sometimes is misrepresenting.
Sometimes art has a life of its own, and you have to – that must be a – you have to separate yourself away from that a little bit, I guess, right?
Yeah, of course you do.
Right,
I mean, after the premiere and after the first few, you see it the way you want it.
Right.
And then you've just got to give it over. Let them do it. I've had hour and a half plays that I've shown up and it was an hour long and they hadn't cut a word.
Just really rifled through it.
Ripped through the thing.
The dragnet approach, right?
Just exactly. Just like, first one to the end of the play wins.
Just the facts, ma'am. That's interesting. Have there been times when you've seen that happen and you felt at the end after reflection, wow, that really was a vast improvement, or that really made it live in a way that I never thought it could?
Yeah, I think so. You know, plays are blueprints. You know, and it's who takes that blueprint on and brings it to full fruition. And some people do it where the play is made better than it is. I've seen plays of mine that I thought were kind of mediocre, and someone's actually made it better than it is. And I've seen plays that are very strong of mine that they did the opposite. So, yeah. You know, it's all collaborative.
Right.
And I guess that's the fun of it, the joy of it.
Lily, do you know how Perseverance came upon this play and knew that it wanted to go about premiering it? No, you weren't part of that process?
I wasn't part of that process, but I know that I actually just started working about 2 weeks ago. But
well, welcome.
Thank you.
I thought I'd throw that one at you.
but it's been such a joy to see it in the rehearsal process and be working on it from a marketing perspective. It is such a fun – I mean, it's hilarious and heartbreaking play. And it has such an all-star cast and team, and it's been really beautiful to see it come to fruition on our stage.
How would you – to just give a brief synopsis, how would you describe the play for someone that is thinking about – maybe seeing it? You know, how would you describe it?
It's about two elderly people in the Midwest that have their life has translated down to the minutiae of their lives. Like they spend their days sorting screws and putting sheets on beds, and you know, because they're old enough that they've made their life very small. Unfortunately, several months before the play starts, they both get ill, one with cancer, one with a dementia. And they decide that they want to take control of the end of their life. And so they live in a state where physician-assisted suicide is not legal. But their son, who's sort of a derelict, ne'er-do-well guy from Portland, makes a deal with them that he'll bring the drugs down if they give him the house. And so he brings the drugs down, and on the way back he has an accident, and they've lost the instructions. And so the play starts with them having lived longer than they meant to and trying to find the instructions that come with the physician-assisted suicide medications.
Wow.
You know, so it's very funny till it's not.
Uh-huh. Sure. But you know? Poignant and – yeah. What was the impetus of the idea you were trying to convey when you – to get to that part of the story?
I'm an advocate of physician-assisted suicide and having end-of-life choice because I'm old. And I'd like to have that choice myself when it becomes time. So, and I've sat through some ICU units where people were in comas and had a longer demise. And it creates conversation with people in my age group, and from that conversation came the idea of advocating for physician-assisted suicide with the play With. The title is from Death with Dignity, from the Oregon Manifest for Physician-Assisted Suicide.
And it sounds like you wanted to make the play kind of really tight and kind of small in a way. Is that – what was the thought there?
Well, oftentimes you're done in theaters where there's the big play on the main stage and there's a small play on the small stage. And the big play is like 3 hours and mine's an hour and 15, and we get to the bar earlier.
That's
one of the impetus.
There's a very direct.
Very direct impetus. And we always go ha, ha, ha to the other cast in the other play. And also it's a two-character play and it takes place in real time. So I want it to be kind of a tight – sort of happening of two people together, and if you show something in real time between two people who care deeply about it, it is a love story in a way. Then it, I think it's a stronger representation of them.
Were there sort of fundamental parts of how the play is constructed that changed because of that workshopping? Like for instance, real time. Mm-hmm. Was there a time when this play had a background narrative that had other stuff going on, or was it always sort of constructed the way it was?
It's always been constructed the way it is. What changed most in this one was sort of the rhythms of it and how it moved and you know, and getting re-educated on what the process of physician-assisted suicide is through a dramaturg who said, you know, this isn't true what you're writing here, you know. And I had done some research. I'd just gotten it wrong because it's been changed since then. So a lot of the detail work of it had changed rather than the journey or the arc. Yeah.
What are you working on now?
Two other plays. One just opened a festival Wednesday night. That's why I couldn't come here earlier.
Where was that?
in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
It's the Shakespeare Festival of St. Louis. They have a Confluence playwriting project, and I'm their 2019 playwriting fellow. And so I
– Well, congratulations.
Okay, yeah, thank you. That's... Thank you. I know nothing about Shakespeare. I don't know why they asked me. But so I wrote a play called The Story Blinked, which is based on an H.G. Wells short story called The Country of the Blind. And it's a very irresponsible recontextualization of that that story. I'm working on that, and we just had the reading of that. And then I've got another play that's called Duck Rabbit, which is more of a – look at our political climate right now.
Okay.
Yeehaw, partners.
Yeah. It's wild and wacky.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
and the play is too. It's about a history professor who starts to see things. He starts to see the future, but he sees them in the form of cartoons. Mm-hmm. And then what he discovers, he and his wife discover, is that the world is turning into a cartoon. And so they isolate into their house, and they're trying to wait out what's going on, the madness that's going on in the world around them, while their daughter is actually turning and transforming into a cartoon. So
yeah.
It's pretty bizarre.
Uh-huh.
No one's going to do it.
That's an interesting point. Do you think about that when you're writing? Do you think about the practicality or the almost the sell or the pitch of how it would work? Or do you just not allow yourself to go there?
I don't. I mean, it's in the back of your head. Sometimes, you know, you're not going to write a play like I'm not going to do with 42 characters because
Sure.
No one's ever going to do it.
But so you have some practical parameters.
Yeah, practical
that you
parameters
work
is a better word.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
But subject matter are just the things that piss me off or confuse me, or I need to know more about, or I need to exercise demons in some way, and that's the fun of being a writer.
That's where you find the inspiration. Not I want to write something funny. It's more this ticks me off.
Yeah.
I want to figure out this problem.
Pretty
and
much.
Then it sort of do you typically write things that have a comical or a comic edge to them?
There's
or?
Usually humor.
Yeah,
in
right.
Most of the things.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. But there are serious issues with some humor.
I found it very interesting you said, I know nothing about William Shakespeare, and yet you were a playwright. What the heck happened?
Well,
how did you get away with that?
It's not knowing about Shakespeare. You know, it's not that I'm not a fan of Shakespeare. I think he's the greatest playwright to probably have ever lived, but I'm sick of Shakespeare. And, you know, you get it crammed down your throat everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to exhume him to bury him deeper right now. That's all the money goes to Shakespeare, you know, the schools and the park and all the stuff, and it's great, but there's so many writers out there that need support.
It's been 500 years of writers.
NEA, right. You know, they just say, well, we don't, you know, they're all politicians, and they say, well, we don't know what Shakespeare's always good.
Safe.
It's reliable.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Always Shakespeare, it's education. It's nothing new works, new plays, new writers.
Yeah.
So that's my little
Well, perseverance is there with new plays, new writers,
perfect.
And that's what's happening. Tell folks how they can
Absolutely.
Make sure they don't miss this one.
Yeah, well, we have some special events associated with WITH coming up. So we open this evening at 7:30 p.m., and we have a special treat. We'll be joined by Rob Cohen and Jocelyn Miles before the show at 6:30. So definitely, if you don't have tickets for tonight, you absolutely should. And then tomorrow evening, we're so lucky to have Carter here, and he will actually be participating in a community conversation with some of the other team members after the show tomorrow evening. So this is a really special weekend. And then we also have things around the show going on for Gallery Walk on December 6th, starting at 6:30 prior to the show. And we'll be having a Beer Friday on November 29th. So lots of things happening. You can find it all on our Facebook page and on our website.
Sounds
and we
awesome.
See you there.
Perseverance Theater. Well, welcome to town. Congratulations. Opening night. It's going to be an exciting night. And congratulations on having the play open here. And we're so happy to be able to have it be the world premiere here in Juneau.
Absolutely.
And thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's WITH. It's opening tonight. And it's going to be running for the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Next 3 weeks at Perseverance Theater. Thanks to Carter and Lily for both coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
With or without you, with or without you.
And that's it for Juneau Afternoon for today. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Have a great